Hey everyone, this is Heidi St. John. Thanks for tuning in today. You have found me at the Heidi St. John podcast, and today is Mailbox Monday. It's the day of the week where I get to answer listener questions, and we've got a whole bunch of them today. It's going to be a jam-packed episode. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening every single time I get on here and I look at your questions. It just encourages me to know that people are listening and that you guys have really great questions and that you're in tune to what God wants you to do in the lives of your children and with your families. And so thank you for that. I had a wonderful time last weekend in Indiana for the Indiana Homeschool Convention. And my husband and I left that weekend. And this, I mean, true story. So our flight got delayed a couple of different times, not horrible delays, but delayed enough to where we were hanging out quite a bit. And we had a chance to just sort of reflect on the opportunity that God had given us. And Jay said to me that the thing that meant the most to him from our time in Indiana was the number of people that came up to our table. Well, we had a table, obviously, in the exhibit hall and got to meet a lot of you. We've been doing this for many, many years. And the number of people that came up to us and said, I first heard you speak 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and it changed the trajectory of our family. We started listening to the Lord and what he might want for our family. And you guys, we came home from that event with our hearts so full because we got to hear from you and hear what God was doing in your life. And I realized at that point that encouragement really is sort of like gasoline in our car here. So we love to hear from you. If you guys want to reach out to me, you can do that by going to HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. We'd love to hear from you. I know things are bonkers right now. Just a couple of days ago, we watched as a cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which is a pretty important bridge for commerce in the United States. And I'm hearing from a lot of you, you know, what do you think about that? And I thought I would lead off today with sort of, you know, this touching on what's happening in the headlines. Because here's the thing. I think when things like this happen, whether it's a door that flies off of a Boeing jet, or it's a, you know, this cargo ship that has tragically crashed into a bridge in Baltimore, we should be very, very slow to speak. And I've noticed that people want to get out ahead of the story. And so within 15 minutes of this devastating accident, which has cost human life and is going to be a problem for the people of Baltimore now for quite a long time, as it takes a while to rebuild a bridge like that, I think the most important thing we can do is just let the facts come in. Let the facts come in, but we want to get out ahead of the story. And I've heard every kind of conspiracy theory known to man since this accident. And maybe some of those things will prove to be true. But until we know what is going on, we discredit ourselves when we jump out ahead of a story and we just assume that this is a conspiracy, that this is somehow, this is, you know, I've heard all kinds of crazy things. I'm not even going to repeat them on the show because it's just so out of control. And it reminds me of the headlines that were circulating about Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, who had said way back at the end of the year that she was going to be out of commission until after Easter. And it wasn't even Easter yet. And, you know, the conspiracy theories abound. You know, had someone killed her? Had Kate Middleton been kidnapped? Was she divorcing William? You know, all this stuff. I watched credible news outlets. Well, they're less credible now, but credible news outlets devoting hours and hours and hours to a story about the Princess of Wales, which eventually forced her to come out and declare that she had been diagnosed with cancer and was starting a sort of preventative chemotherapy. And then everybody that had that was circulating all these stories about, you know, where is Kate Middleton and all these things have egg on their face. Well, I think the same thing could absolutely happen. And we're going to have more opportunities because I think that 2024, I've told you guys before, I think it's going to be a bumpy ride. This is a very important election year in the United States. It determines the course that our nation will take for the next 4 years. And so we're going to see all kinds of crazy things happen. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. We need to be asking God, give us discernment, help us, show us when we can speak and when we should not speak. And I'd love to sit here and tell you that I've gotten this right all the time. And I've been silent when I saw things come up. And I have also made mistakes, also said things that frankly embarrassed me later on. So I just encourage you, you know, be quiet. Just listen, listen, wait for the facts to come in. And I think, you know, we as the children of God, especially, need to be very, very careful that we are not giving the enemy a foothold to further divide and further cause fear. Fear is not from the Lord. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And let's keep that in mind as we move even closer toward primaries that are happening now all around the country. And of course, you know, what's happening at our southern border continues to be horrifying to me. That's something that you can't exaggerate at this point. Many of you saw the video of a Venezuelan national, this guy who has over 1 million followers on TikTok, teaching people how to come across the southern border and invoke squatter's rights. And so if you've got, you know, let's say a little vacation home that you worked your whole life for and you finally were able to purchase the second home, and maybe you rent it out on Airbnb or something like that, or maybe it just sits there and it's sometimes empty. Well, these Venezuelan nationals are trying to teach people how to come across our southern border and invade your home and invoke squatter's rights. By the way, the squatter's rights policies are Democrat policies. The country is being ruined by the policies of the left. This is the history of the Democrat Party in this country, absolutely, in more recent history. And we're not going to see it change until we see every single one of us get involved. Our civic responsibility, if we care about this country, is to be involved at the very least through voting, but also through running for office, through supporting people who are running for office. It should matter to us what's happening in the country, and we should want to protect the citizens that live here. And so, you know, while I'm as concerned as you are, and certainly I'm watching what's going on in the news, just like the rest of you, I just want to adjust to a place of discernment and wisdom and asking the Lord to help us test everything.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I thought it was also interesting, and if you're watching this, the news that came out about this Venezuelan migrant who calls himself an influencer, interesting to note that this guy is now being TikTok by ICE, which I'm like, okay, this guy has claimed that his family, which includes his wife and his young daughter, have received $350 a week in government handouts since entering the United States illegally. On top of that, he says he's making $1,000 a day as a TikTok influencer. However, his account, which at one point had more than 500,000 followers, appeared inactive on Wednesday morning. His verified Instagram account has 17,000 followers and posted two videos on Wednesday morning showing him waving a stack of $100 bills as he posed with his baby girl. Moreno allegedly cut off his ankle monitor after receiving Border Patrol and is now listed as an absconder from immigration authorities. And this, of course, was reported last week. So we've got a lot of issues in this country. And I'm here to tell you right now, the Democrats are dangerous. They're dangerous for our constitutional republic. They're dangerous for freedom. And if you guys live in a state like I do, I live here in Washington State, and the taxes are absolutely outrageous. If you're a business owner in Washington State, I am praying for you. And I think this is true across the board. People who are actually employing people and working hard to build businesses and bring good things to the citizens in their area are really being, you know, taxed into oblivion. And these are Democrat policies. A lot of them driven by the ridiculous narrative of climate change, you know, oh no, oh no, the sky is falling. And so we're going to take even more of your money, and we're going to spend it on causes that you don't understand and don't care about. And that's truth. And that's the legacy of the Democrat Party. So I hope you guys will get involved and begin again to care about what's happening civically around you. Before I jump into your questions today, I also want to take a moment to let you know that our 501c4 Firmly Planted Action is going to be heavily investing in something that we are calling the Bring Your Bible and Ballot to Church Initiative. So it's hashtag Bibles and Ballots. We're hoping that as the primaries get a little bit closer, people who live in states where you can put collection boxes up for ballots will start putting them in the entryway of your churches, so that it's just a reminder to people to say, hey, vote. And when you grab your Bible to come to church, hey, also fill out your ballot, bring it to church and drop it off. And then we'll make sure that that gets to the city or county or state auditor, wherever those ballots need to go. But if you're interested in helping us do that, check out the work that we're doing at Firmly Planted Action. And we would love it if you were praying over that with us. We're trying to engage Christians again in the political sphere to say, listen, we're going to lose this country. But if God's people would actually get off their rear ends and start paying attention and caring about what's happening and voting, we would see things changing in the United States. And that is a fact. Also, coming up really quickly, I'm going to be in Wisconsin Dells speaking for the Wisconsin Homeschool Association alongside Jim Caviezel. And we hope you guys will come out for that. I am hearing that that event is almost sold out. So coming out this weekend in Wisconsin, I have never spoken for the homeschool event there. And so I'm really looking forward to meeting a bunch of new faces and hearing what God's doing in your life. All right, I'm going to jump right into your questions today. First one comes from an anonymous listener in the great state of Indiana. She said, Heidi, I love your podcast and how you always direct us back to the Word of God. Thank you for that. My question is, what are your thoughts on summer church camp? We have a no sleepover policy at our house, but recently all the kids at our church have been attending church camp. My children would like to attend, but I'm a little nervous as I don't know the other kids or counselors that will be there. I'm praying for discernment, but I wonder if I'm being overprotective since I'm the only mom at church with reservations. All right. So you guys know that I am a huge fan of parents being involved in what's going on with their kids. And so there were a couple of things, Anonymous, that I wish that you would have put in this post. I'd love to know how old your kids are. Like, what are the ages of the kids we're talking about? Are you talking about a 6-year-old? Are you talking about an 8-year-old? Are you talking about a 14-year-old? What are we talking about? Because I think that really, really matters. And I have been, you know, I used to work at a Christian camp. And I mean, I could regale you for hours with stories of things that happened at that Christian camp that I would like to forget. And so I really do think it matters who's at the camp, what's the policy, you know. And I would have no trouble sending my child to a camp where I really understood the policy that they had toward who's watching these kids, especially in the evenings. And so I have loved over the years, I've watched as a lot of these used to be overnight church camps have gone really more to day camps. And so the kids are there, you know, all day long, and they might be, you know, playing games and doing Bible studies and doing crafts and all the things, but they're not staying overnight. And I think if they are going to be staying overnight, you need to be very aware of who the counselors are. So you're not being overprotective. Go to the church leadership, call the camp and say, hey, I'm thinking about sending my daughter to your camp. Can you guys tell me what your policy is? How do I know that you're going to be making good decisions for my children with regard to who their roommates are, and what is the responsibility of the camp counselors as it relates to keeping our children safe? And let me know a little bit about your counselors. How do you vet them? Those kinds of things. Just be a proactive parent and then ask the Lord to give you wisdom. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you absolutely no to camp, but I will tell you, I think that the day and age of parents just, you know, blindly sending their kids to overnight camps and to, you know, like we used to have in Portland, our kids went to day camps there. The city of Portland had the Montevilla day camps. They were wonderful, right next door to where we lived, and our kids, all kinds of things. I wouldn't send my kids to that camp now if my life depended on it, because so many things have changed. And so you need to be aware that there have been changes, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And so I would just say, don't be embarrassed to call these people and just ask them some questions. Write down a list of questions that you'd like answers to, and then do your homework. And if you don't feel at peace about it, then don't send your child. I have talked to many, many parents over the years who said, you know, I had a check in my spirit about this, or I thought, man, I just don't know if this is the right thing to do, and I did it anyway. And then it turns out that that check was the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't do this. Don't send your kid to this camp, or don't make this decision, or whatever it is. So if you feel a check in your spirit, pay attention, because that's how the Lord often speaks to us, right? Is that still small voice that some people call it, you know, intuition. And I think if you're following the Lord Jesus and you've got him in your life, then we need to be paying attention to that. But I absolutely agree with you that you must not send your child to any sort of overnight camp that you are not well acquainted with, that you don't understand the ins and outs of how that camp operates and what their policies are for students that'll be spending the week there. Just find out. And if your mind is at ease, then send your child to camp, right? So these are decisions that we need to make as individuals. And I think God's given you the wisdom and the ability to be able to do that. I also think, you know, I'm a huge fan, as you guys know, of the no sleepover policy. We have a very, very, very short list of young girls that you know, we do sleepovers with, or who, you know, families that I would say to my own daughter, yes, you can go spend the night at so-and-so's house. It's a very, very short list. And I have not been disappointed that these are the decisions that we made. Of course, you know, like I've said to you guys before, my oldest daughters are in their 30s and my youngest daughter is 13. And I am parenting my 13-year-old daughter in a vastly different world than I was when I was shepherding my 32-year-old and 30-year-old daughters. Just a very, very different world. And so I wouldn't let anyone make you feel bad about wanting to shelter and protect your children. That is your job. And if we're going to err on being overprotective or not protecting our kids enough, I will err on the side of overprotection every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. I don't want us to be overprotective. Our children need to have freedom. We don't want our children also, we don't want them to live in fear. You can't protect your child from every eventuality, everything that they're going to experience in this life. But what we do want to do is get them ready so that in the event that they come in contact with, say, a person who could be a bad influence, or even someone who could potentially be dangerous, they will have been trained and their heart is attuned so that they see those things and recognize them. So I appreciate that. Let me know how it goes and what you decide to do. And actually, this is a great time of year. I'd love to hear from you guys as to how you think and how you handle summer camp and the decisions that you make on where your kids spend their time during the summer. I'd love to hear. You guys can write into me, HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. Annie in Tennessee said, Heidi, thank you for what you do. I recently heard a sermon from Charles Stanley about spiritual warfare and strongholds. I am a new Christian and believe that there are some strongholds in my life. Can you give me more information on how to take them down? First of all, we need to be able to define what a stronghold is. A stronghold is defined as a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack, or a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. So strongholds are designed to be a safe place. And as believers in Christ, we need to be sure that the Lord is our stronghold. Psalm 27 verse 1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I fear? Throughout the Old Testament, God speaks of the prophets about how he will destroy enemy strongholds. In Amos chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, so I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, and it shall devour her strongholds. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, Paul wrote this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So this passage is showing us that spiritual strongholds can be arguments or lofty opinions, any thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, or that we hold in esteem over him. So if you're struggling with an area in your walk with the Lord right now, that could be a stronghold. And usually strongholds are rooted in pride, spiritual strongholds, especially rooted in pride, because they rely on ourselves, right? We rely on ourselves for wisdom or for strength or for deliverance, then we're relying on ourselves. And this tends to lead to a prideful heart, to unhealthy thought patterns. And because strongholds are spiritual, we recognize that our battle to fight them takes place in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6 is probably one of the best and well-known passages that we can go to when we're talking about spiritual strongholds. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all, stand firm. Man, I love this passage. Stand therefore. I love this. Stand. Withstand the evil day. Having done everything that you know how to do that is correct, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. Notice how he starts with the belt of truth. You guys have heard me talk about this. And in fact, for the month of May, that is what the May study is going to focus on at Faith That Speaks. We're going to do a deep dive into truth and why, how the Bible says that we can know truth. Truth is not just some abstract thing. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. The Bible very clearly describes him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And truth is what's in the crosshairs right now. And I keep telling you guys, truth is a hill worth dying on. This is why you're never going to hear me play the pronoun game. It's why I didn't bend to the ridiculous absurdity of the lie of the Rona and what we all lived through, because I knew in my heart it was a lie. And we need to be focused on what is truth. And the very first thing we do when we put on the armor of God is we buckle on that belt of truth. When we buckle on the belt of truth, it also means we need to be able to see the truth about our own selves, the truth about any sin that might be in our life, anything that's hindering us from walking rightly with the Lord. So he says, stand therefore. And the first thing you do is buckle on that belt of truth. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what, you guys? It's the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. God will give you the ability through his Son, through Jesus, to tear down these spiritual strongholds in our lives using these spiritual truths. We use the first thing we do is we use truth. We are making sure that we have the breastplate of righteousness. That means, what are you allowing to penetrate your heart that is unrighteous? Is it something that you're allowing yourself to listen to? Is it something that you're taking into your body? Maybe you have a substance abuse problem, or maybe you're watching things on television that you shouldn't be watching. We want to have our trust be placed solely in the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 22, a wise man scales the city of mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust, right? So tearing down strongholds isn't going to be easy. And when we fight, we are going to certainly experience resistance. This is absolutely true, especially, and I think that the political battles in this country are largely spiritual in nature. This is why I keep telling you, we're sending people to the front lines of spiritual battles where we have spiritual strongholds that have existed for generations. And we are sending people who do not know the Lord and cannot wield a spiritual weapon to the front lines of a very real spiritual battle. And we need to be very, very careful who is representing us and who is running for office. And even though we are going to experience this resistance when we begin destroying spiritual strongholds, we can remain confident that in doing this, we are being used by the Lord to build up his church, and he will not allow the devil to triumph in the end. Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter, this is Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus has already won the war. He's already won the war. Psalm 144, starting in verse 1, says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues the people under me. It is our responsibility to be warriors for the Lord and to tear down those spiritual strongholds that have taken place in our lives in which we are wrestling with, right? We know that we don't wrestle against a flesh and blood enemy. We are wrestling against spiritual forces of evil, the Bible says, in heavenly places. These are spiritual battles. And there's a lot to learn on spiritual strongholds. And I want to just encourage you. I'll link back to a couple of really great websites. I quoted from at least two of them today, but your power comes from the Lord alone. And God's plan is to demolish the spiritual strongholds that are in your life. And so this is exactly what we read about, these arguments that are raising up themselves against the knowledge of God. Secular humanism comes to mind. Darwinism comes to mind. Gender ideology comes to mind. These have set themselves up against the knowledge of God, and they have become strongholds in our nation, strongholds in our schools. And it's going to require God's people to engage in the spiritual battle using the weapons of spiritual warfare that are given to us in the Word of God, because the enemy right now is firmly entrenched. He's absolutely entrenched himself in our schools, unfortunately, in many of our churches, and these strongholds have been guarded for thousands of years. And so if we're going to see victory in this day and age, if we're going to start to see these strongholds demolished, it starts with prayer. And you guys, I'm going to be teaching you about prayer for the month of April. I can't wait for you to join me. Right now, we are coming to the end of our study of Gifts Gone Wrong. Remember, I told you I've been taking the women through sort of a personality and a life study of some of these bad girls in the Bible. And then we're going to be shifting our attention to the power that we have, because we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through prayer. And I just want to encourage you, because I think the battle, because the Bible says this is true, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. It is absolutely the Lord's. And the Christian who's going to come out on the victorious side of these battles is the person who enters the ruins, whether it's the ruins of the cities or the ruins of our public schools or the ruins of a family that has been ravaged by sin, and leads captive, as it were, every false philosophy, every lie that's been levied in that marriage, every lie that's in our public school system, every lie that's in our universities, every lie that's in our progressive so-called churches. And we assert the truth and the authority of God, and we put those things in their rightful place again. And I know that God has so much more for us if we will just walk in the power and the authority that has been given to us through Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. I mean, obviously, we are entering into the Easter season right now, and an incredible time for us to remember that we have victory, not because of anything we have done, not because any of our own righteousness, but because of his righteousness and because of Jesus' death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection. You guys, we've read to the end of the story. Jesus Christ has already won. He won when he rose again. And you guys have power that you can access through the name of Jesus Christ and through prayer. And I hope you'll join me for the study next month. You guys can sign up right now. This is a great time, and actually still get access to Bad Girls of the Bible. You can sign up right now for Faith That Speaks. Just go to faiththatspeaks.com. I teach there. I try to every Tuesday when I'm not traveling. It's a whole lot easier than when I am. But we try to come there every Tuesday, and I will pick just some highlights from the study, and I'll go over them with you. These are wonderful studies for you to do with your daughters, with your women's Bible study, maybe with your neighbors, with your homeschool co-op. Check it out at faiththatspeaks.com. I'm going to take one more question today, and this came from Amy in North Carolina. Hey, Amy, thanks for writing in. She said, now that I'm not homeschooling anymore, how can I make sure that my kids filter their subjects through a biblical worldview? Well, Amy, I don't know if you're talking about you're not homeschooling because your children are have graduated from your home and they're in university, or if they're in a public high school. I'm not really sure. I feel like I need a little bit more information, but what I can tell you is this. Your responsibility, I mean, I believe this with all my heart. Our responsibility, according to God, is for our children's education, and he is going to hold us responsible for what they hear, for what they process. So if your children are in a public school, whether it's a grade school or a high school, I would urge you every day, talk to them about what they're learning. Just say, show me your schoolwork today. And you teach your children how to put on those lens of a biblical worldview and filter those things through the grid of scripture. We want to teach our children to be able to see things the way that God sees them. And so as believers, we take what comes at us at any given time, right? And the first thing we do is we hold up the authority of the word of God and we filter those things through God's word. And so whatever comes out on the other side, we apply to our lives. That's how we know that God has created us male and female in his image. Now, you guys know I'm a huge fan of also studying, you know, especially when it comes to gender ideology and things like that. Your body bears witness to the truth, right? And so we need to be able to argue these things from a standpoint of natural law. Also, God gave us what we see in nature. And in fact, in Romans, the Bible says we are without excuse because nature speaks of the creator, right? But we also want to teach our children to be able to really wrap their head around what God's word says and then apply it to every aspect of their life. This is why I'm such a fan of home education. And it's because it gives you what the schools take away. And that is the precious gift of time. It is time with your children, time to develop those relationships, time to pour into your kids. And as most of my kids are older now, I spend a lot of my time praying for them. And that's the thing I'm going to leave you with is continue to pray for your children. There's a passage in the Bible that I often, I've taught this over the years to many, many audiences. And it speaks of the power of godly influence. I just taught on this in Indianapolis, and I'm going to be speaking on it, you know, as I travel throughout the United States this summer. But I want you to look at Psalm 78, starting in verse 5 with me, and we're going to end here today. God says that you've been given influence. And if you're a parent, obviously the very first place that he gives you influence is in the life of your children. But if you're a husband, you have tremendous influence over the decisions that your wife makes, right? As a wife, you have tremendous influence in the life of your husband. And we want to use that influence for righteousness. You guys have influence in the lives of your coworkers, with the lives of the men and women that you go to church with or that you live next door to. You have influence. And this is what we read in Psalm 78. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. Now, notice how God feels about how we treat the next generation. This is not a question of whether or not we want to. We have been commanded to teach the truth to our children, commanded our fathers to teach their children. Why? So that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. Translation says, even the children yet to be born, inferring that this is yet another generation removed, and arise and tell them to their children. Why? Verse 7 tells us, so that they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but that they would keep his commandments. Verse 8 says that they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God. As I said to you guys at the onset of the show today and answering the last couple of questions, we are in a spiritual battle and the results will reverberate for generations. The question is, are we going to take up the mantle first in our own families and in our marriages and teach our children the statutes of the one who made them and help our children walk in right relationship with God? Or are we going to become and remain that stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God? We are reaping in our churches and in our country right now the results of a generation of Christians whose hearts have not been faithful to God. And you have an opportunity and I have an opportunity to change the course of the next generation because we teach them to rightly divide the word of God. You guys, that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'd love to hear from you. And again, you guys know how to do that. HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday. That's where you can fill out a form and we read those and my staff will get those questions and comments to me. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on Christian camps and summer camps in particular. And I will read as many of those as I can here at the show. So go ahead and submit those to me. Also, please leave reviews for the Heidi St. John podcast. If you haven't done that, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd love those reviews. They really do help the podcast in the ratings. And then it's shown to more people. So we appreciate you guys listening to the show. Sign up today at faiththatspeaks.com, faiththatspeaks.com, and join me for the April Bible study and learn about the power of prayer. You guys, you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the incredible gift that God's given you to be able to approach his throne boldly. I can't wait for you guys to join me. It's going to be a fantastic study. Again, you can sign up at faiththatspeaks.com, and I will see you, for those of you who are going to be at the Wisconsin Conference, next weekend at Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari Resort. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for listening. Love your people well, and I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and